The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
At the end of World War II, as the United States and the Allies were rolling through Europe, defeating the enemies at that time, the Germans, what was happening? As the United States came through, and like I said, our allies, people cheered. They welcomed them with open arms. Now, when they got into Germany, what happened? Did the Germans welcome them with open arms? No, they were rather distraught. Now, just imagine, on the most historical day in history, the Savior of mankind comes, saves man from almost total destruction, and everybody is booing. Everybody, that is, except his people. Turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Verses 5 through 7. Exodus 34. This is where God allowed Moses to see him, part of his glory. But this is something that God said as he came near Moses. Now, I'm not going to use the word Lord in this particular case. So I'm going to say the Tetragrammaton, the YHVH, because that's a specific name. And I'm not going to say it because eternal doesn't fit it, Lord doesn't fit it, and it's not that I have this thing about saying the name. But it is God's name, and Lord and Eternal just doesn't do it any justice. Starting in verse 5, "And the YHVH descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of YHVH. And YHVH passed before him and proclaimed, YHVH, YHVH God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation." The being that Moses was talking to at this point in time became Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was saying, this is the type of being that I am. This is the type of being that God the Father is. And yet, when he comes back, there will be no trumpets sounding on earth, but there will be trumpets elsewhere. You know, on the Feast of Trumpets, we have one day to celebrate it, and there's 10 days between that and atonement. There's a lot of things that Christ has to do when he comes back. In fact, when the first trumpet sounds, it's quite a bit of time before he actually returns, before we actually see him. Turn to Revelation 8. Revelation 8. You know, what's nice about the book of Revelation is it's kind of a story flow of Christ's return. God's return to this earth. Without it, trying to put together the Old Testament and all the various stories that God gives us just isn't there. We would be scratching and pulling our hair out, but here Jesus Christ gave it to John as John wrote it down. Revelation 8, 1. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour." Then go to Revelation verse 7. "And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail, fire, mingled with blood, etc." When that first angel sounded, that's starting of the Feast of Trumpets. Well, could it be only a matter of a few hours in the day that the Feast of Trumpets, the seventh trump sounds? Turn to Revelation 9:1. We just Now here's the fifth angel. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now go to verse 10. After the fifth angel started, it goes through a variety of the things that happen, and it kind of show you a time frame. And it says in verse 10, and they had tails, and this is talking about the fighting men or the implements of war, scorpions, and they had stings in their tails, and there was power to hurt men 5 months. Now, the first trumpet sounded, who knows when, and this is at 5 months. So we know that at least the fifth trumpet is going to be 5 months long. Now go to verse 13. And then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which he had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, and they were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year to slay 1/3 of all man. Now, there's over 6 billion people on earth today. So, just think, 1/3 die in this period of time. But again, notice how long that was. Now, when Christ comes back, where this was rehearsed on trumpets, when Christ comes back, what will it be like? Is it something that we could possibly miss? Is it something that you should be concerned about? Well, let's look at Acts 1, verse 9. Acts 1, verse 9. Now, this is when Christ ascended up into heaven. There's a good example here, and it says, now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, the apostles, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So it looks like somebody's going to be able to see him. But how will they see him? Revelation 10, verse 7. It says, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So at that point, when that seventh angel sounds, things that were hidden will become apparent. 1 Corinthians 15:52, which we probably all know, which we all look for. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Again, this all happens at Christ's return. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That shout probably from the angels and also the trumpet, the seventh trumpet that sounds. That's what the shout is or can be. And the voice of the archangel with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing to look forward to for us, our people, our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Revelation 14:14 says, then I looked and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So we see the Bible is pretty consistent. Christ is going to be up in heaven, probably on a cloud, on a horse, and he's going to come. In fact, Jesus himself, when he was on the earth, Matthew 24:27, you might want to turn there, Matthew 24. He said, Matthew 24:27, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, can something like that be a secret? Can something like that be missed? Now, is everybody going to see him all at once? Remember, we have a round world. And if you're on one side of the world, the other side of the world can't see you. So Christ is going to have to be coming around the world at least a certain amount of speed so that everybody sees him with a little time difference. God made the world round. So what happens on one side doesn't happen on the other. It may not take Christ long to get there, but it's still not the same time. And it's going to be a very public event. And there will be a lot of flash. It'll be the news of the day, but not happy news of the day. Not for the world. Verse 30, Matthew 24:30. "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will shout for joy." No, it says, "will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And just a few verses before, what will be the condition of the world? They won't be happy to see him. But the condition of the world is, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." We're ready to destroy ourselves, and we still won't give up. Why is it that humanity is so stubborn? Why are we so stubborn? We're on the brink of our own destruction. And man isn't happy to be seeing God, the God that's going to bring mercy and justice and liberation to mankind. So, to get a little better idea, again, of what man will be thinking at that time, turn to Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Christ told us this, Revelation 11:4. This is the two witnesses, about the two witnesses. "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands before the God of the earth. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lay in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." So we know it's in Jerusalem. "Then those from peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. Make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two men, these two prophets, tormented those who dwell on the earth." They were tormented because they were trying to tell humanity what was happening, what was going to happen if they continued to live the type of lives they were living. Warning humanity that they were on the brink of destruction. And that God was coming to save them, they didn't want to hear. They were dead 3.5 days. "Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. They stood on their feet, And great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, Come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. I wonder what event that could possibly be. Verse 13, in the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell in the earthquake. 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, the sixth trumpet. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. So it's probably right at the, if not at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, it's really close. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So, and we know that we will meet him in the air as we read earlier, and we will be with him wherever he is, but has mankind succumbed? Is that it? Actually, Revelation tells us no. There's still plenty more things that have to be done. Revelation 16. Verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So after the seventh trumpet comes the seven vials, and each was poured and did a certain amount of damage to mankind. Verse 10, And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Finally, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, these events happen after the return of Christ. One day, a few hours, probably up till Day 9, some of this could happen. And it says, verse 13, And I saw the unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and to the whole world, to gather them up in the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them all together in a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. Now, if you remember, at this point in time, there's at least a 200 million man army coming out of the east, flowing into Jerusalem, plus the beast and his army. And they all meet at the place where we know it as Armageddon or Megiddo. Then it says, Revelation 16:17, And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, Jerusalem. And the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of his fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon man a great hail out of heaven, about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. I guess man is at least consistent, we still continue to blaspheme God. I mean, how thick-headed are we? Without God's Holy Spirit working with us, that's where we would be. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife has made herself ready. We have to make ourselves ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And that righteousness of the saints isn't our righteousness, it's Jesus Christ's righteousness, covered by His blood. And He said unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And then, verse 11, and I saw that heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire on his head, and there were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Maybe we'll know what YHVH, how to say it then, huh? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. John 1:1. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all the men, free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Of course, man can overcome God. I mean, after all, you know, God just made everything and put it in its place, but we can overcome God. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them, and them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into the lake of the fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. God does wipe out human enemies at this point in time, and that's part of the story of the Feast of Trumpets. God is getting everything prepared for His kingdom in this period of time, for His people. It'll be a horrible time, and it'll be a time to look forward to, because at this point in time, God will bring justice. God will bring real liberty. And God will be getting things ready. Some of this will be done after atonement. But this is something that God has. It reflects some of what I just read. Turn to Ezekiel 39. Ezekiel 39, verse 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob, and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. After they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their land and no one made them afraid, when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them in their sight of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land, and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them any more, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Ezekiel 39, verse 21. You can say, why does God do this? I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore I hid my face from them, and I gave them into the land of their enemies, and they fell by the sword. So we see here, prior to the time of Christ's coming, he goes back and forth where he says what's going to happen to his people. We, the church, has always said the people of Israel. It's more than just the English-speaking peoples. But the English-speaking peoples are usually known as Ephraim and Manasseh. And there's other peoples as well with different tongues that will go into captivity because they've forgotten God. Many of the practices that our country is beginning to put into place and legalizing and making it a shame for you to say anything against is becoming legal. But God has plenty to do in this point in time until we get to the Feast of Atonement. Turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I shall say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Why does God do this? Because of our goodness, or because of his, like he said in Exodus 34. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, this time I'll say the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. God does this for his glory. We just happen to be blessed to know this. We happen to be blessed to know about and be a part of God's glory. But the glory isn't for us. The glory is for God. The Bible is his story. We're a part of it. But it's his story and what he's doing for us. And also, and what we allow him to work with us if we don't rebel against him like the world does at his return.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.